on the line with us, an actor who you may remember from the television series Chips. That was quite the hit a few years back, and he's on television once again on The Bold and the Beautiful. Joining us from California is Eric Estrada. Hello, Eric. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Hey.
When your first air date for Bold and the Beautiful, was that yesterday?
The last 3 days. I've been on for the last 3 days. I'm on for the next 8 more days, and then I'm going to shoot a series of more episodes with them in a couple weeks again. It's a half-hour show,
right.
And simulcast in Spanish.
And simulcast in Spanish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you've done, for those who haven't seen you for a while, you've done soaps in Spanish, correct?
Yes, in South America. I had one, had a high rate, the most high-rated and longest-running one in Mexico City for a long, long time. And then I just, you know, this one, I just go down my mountain and I'm at the studio in 12 minutes. I mean, this is ideal for me.
So you can just literally roll out of bed and be in
that
work.
Exactly. Sometimes I'm home so early that I could pick up my kids at school.
Now, having done a Latin soap, how do the soaps differ in the two cultures, besides the language?
So the Latin ones in Mexico City, first of all, I had to learn how to read and speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
That's for starters, because I grew up in New York City, Spanish Harlem, and I always worked after school and stuff, so I lost all the Spanish that we talked in the house.
Right.
And by the time, at the age of 44, I had to go to Berlitz for 30 days, 8 hours a day to learn how to read and speak it properly. And then I went to Mexico a month earlier because in Mexico, they use a technique down there where they put an earpiece in your ear and a little microphone in the other one, and they run the wires down through your hair and down your back, and you have adjustable volume levels. And you get your dialogue is fed to you because we would do 6-7 shows a day that way.
Wow.
Now, American soaps, you have to, you memorize,
mm-hmm.
which is the way I was trained, you know, in America. And so that took quite a while, too. So learning how to work with this guy feeding you lines while you're concentrating and emoting and going on. But it's a great, in my case, it helped me for pronunciation.
Now, you're playing this role on The Bold and the Beautiful. The character you're playing is Eduardo Dominguez, right?
Right. I play the father, and my son is HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to get married. And how can he have kids and be passionate and with his wife and the woman that wants to marry him? But today the show that aired today was, she convinced me that she loves him no matter what.
And
so we're going to be supportive.
And if I'm not mistaken, does your character know about your son being HIV positive?
No, he didn't know until today.
Ah, okay, so the cat's out of the bag now, the Friday cliffhanger, as
yeah.
it were. Okay. Now, you say you have an opportunity to do more shows. Is there a possibility that you might become a regular on The Bold and the Beautiful? Would you like to do that, first of all?
Well, it would suit my lifestyle because I got 3 kids, and I got 2 teenagers in high school, and they're in. One is into football, the other one's into track and field. And, you know, this is the age where you got to be there for them. I mean, really important time for them. So I don't want to take any work that's going to take me out of Dodge.
I understand.
So this would be ideal. But I got to keep it open for other things because I do 2 other television shows.
Which 2?
I do American Adventurer, and we go to different countries for 2 weeks at a time, and we shoot adventures all over the country that we're in. Like, we went to Quebec, and we did ice climbing and skidooing and just everything that you do there, winter sports. And we're on here in KCAL, probably syndicated up there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do on the Cartoon Network, I do the voice for Marco of 221 C-Lab.
Oh, okay. We're talking with Eric Estrada here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800-790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hall area, and also the border states. Let's go back a little bit to when you were working on the television series Chips. First of all, that show went through the roof when it first came on, and you were rather young at the time.
I was a puppy. I was 27, and I was in the... I was at Toys R Us. It was great. It was the 70s. It was song and dance, disco, and free love.
Did you get yourself in a little bit of trouble back then?
Oh, every other month I was on the cover of Enquirer. It was terrible, but, you know, I was young and cocky and just full of life and excited and working and young.
If you knew then what you know now, how different would that experience have been?
I think it probably, well, being self-raised, more or less, if I'd had a father in my life, someone to, you know, to just give me feedback, maybe that would have helped. Maybe I would have done it differently. But as I did it, I had to do it the way I had to do it, because a lot of the stuff that I mostly got in trouble for were contractual, meaning that I owned a big piece of the show, and when it came time to get the net profits participation money before they cancel the show, you know, they ream you. They try to rob you, and I wasn't going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was considered a bad boy for a long time.
The other thing, too, is, to be honest, when the show was on the air and that time, there weren't a lot of, positive role models for Latin kids, for Hispanics, yeah.
I know, because up to that time, I played 9 years of the Latino with the gun, the knife, the brick, the bad, you know, the bad boy.
Right.
And when I almost didn't get the role because NBC said, hey, this kid has been on every cop show as a villain, he's known... You know, because I was guest starring a lot on a lot of shows. I had built up my repertoire where I would guest star in roles as the this week's villain on Mannix or Kojak or Hawaii Five-O or Beretta was me.
Mm-hmm.
So the producer who created the show, you know, said, well, let's screen test him, which was in my benefit because once he put me in the uniform and on a motorcycle, it worked. It made me neutral.
Ah.
So I got the part, and then we went at it.
We're talking with actor Eric Estrada here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD, 800-790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD are the numbers to call. Lori in Côte Saint-Luc, hi, you're on CJD.
Hi. I'm a big fan of The Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, great. Have you seen the 3 episodes?
I saw 2 of them. I taped today. I didn't see it yet.
Oh, you must see today, because today is the day we find out.
Okay.
And it's pretty exciting. I mean, I watched it today, and I got excited.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to watch it probably tomorrow. I wanted to know how you felt, 2 things, how you felt playing a father, because that's kind of new. We don't think of you as...
Well, I'm sorry, did you finish?
Well, we don't think of you usually as the father. We think of you as the guy on the motorcycle.
I know. Well, when you see me, you'll see that I've aged. I mean, I let my hair go gray some, and I don't fit in the uniform anymore, but just because, you know, I'm 52 years old now. I'm soon to be 53.
That's okay. I got older, too.
Yeah. Well, we kind of grew up together, sort of.
Right.
And so it works for me because I have 3 sons, and my son's character's name is Tony,
right.
And my firstborn, his name is Tony.
Okay.
So it all really works for me, and I've had, of course, in the past years, I've had many friends who've died with of HIV.
Mm-hmm. No, it's great to see you. I was like all excited when we saw you.
Oh, wonderful!
The Bold and the Beautiful. I wanted to know what Brooke Logan—I forget her real name—what's she like? Because she's one of my
really
favorites.
Terrific. She's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, she's nice. She's nice. As a matter of fact, one of the other reasons why I am leaning towards that, if I'm offered a steady thing, it'd be great. I would take it. But I don't mind reoccurring because I got other things that I've committed to.
Right.
But it's because everybody in the cast, they're really good people. I mean, they're really sweet people.
Oh, that's
I'm
nice.
Talking as a group of people. You know, when you go to the office, you got people that you work with.
Sure.
I like everybody there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well,
and the nice thing is that all the kids that are young on the show, they all grew up watching me. So
yeah.
It's like uncles coming home.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, we're happy to have you on. It's nice. It's a good storyline.
Yeah, I really like it. I hope I continue. It all depends. Let's see what happens.
Thank you for the call, Lori.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
We're talking with actor Eric Estrada here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD, 800-790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. We'll continue on the other side of the news. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD, 800.
Now more of CJAD's Holder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJAD 800. We are talking with actor Eric Estrada. You know him well from the television series Chips that went on the air back in the 70s. He's now seen on The Bold and the Beautiful here on CBS and also CTV in Canada. If you have any questions for Eric, lines free 790-0991 star talk 1-800-491-CJAD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hull area, and also the border states. Eric, we have an opportunity on this program quite often to talk to people who had hit television series from days gone by, either the 60s, 70s, or 80s. And one thing is sometimes they are a little concerned about the image that they may have had or the how they may have gotten lost in the shuffle. Yet I know that you have shown up on a lot of television shows playing yourself.
Yeah, I love fun. You forget, you know, a lot of people don't know, but my acting was my second career choice.
What was your first?
My first was I was almost a New York City police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first choice. I've always wanted to be a cop from the age of 9 to the age of 17. But in high school, there was this beautiful French-Canadian girl named Christine Laporte that I was chasing. And she was in drama club. And I said, hey, listen, you got to have attitude to grow up in the streets of Harlem. So I got into drama club. And, gosh, I just fell in love with, you know, acting. And then, so as luck would have it, me and Christine ended up playing the leads in the school play.
So it's basically, I guess, just kismet, the fact that, you know, your biggest role, the one you're known for the most, is playing a police officer.
So, yep, so it's absolutely.
It's like,
I love it. I got people still calling me Poncho, and I think it's great.
So it's literally like having your cake and eating it, too.
Yeah, I was lucky to be able to do that.
Now, one of the things that also came up a lot, looking back at that, is there's been a lot of talk about the cast of the show and how well you may or may not have gotten along. What's the situation today?
Well, the situation today is cool. We got together to do a reunion, and that was terrific, seeing everybody after 16 years. We all got together. But, you know, I understand, you know, he was hired first, and he was the star of the show.
He being Larry Wilcox.
Larry Wilcox was hired first to play John Baker. And he was the star of the show. And when I met him, I was blown away because here I am, a New York City kid, street kid. The fastest thing I've ever been on was a subway or a street bus. And when I met him, he was going to the studio that day, and I met him because I was going in for another audition. I was still auditioning when I met him. And he pulls up in a pickup truck, and he's got a bale of hay in the back of the truck and two horse saddles, and I was like, I was in awe of just seeing saddles and bay and this guy, and I thought it was great. And we got along great until the show started hitting the airwaves, and the public decided who was going to be the Lone Ranger.
Right.
You know, I was supposed to be Tonto, but it got reversed. And I understand, you know, him getting bent about it, and, you know, and it caused a lot of friction for many years, but the chemistry between us was great on screen, and maybe if he'd have handled it differently, we would have been having a couple of beers right now, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I always, when I think about how could he have handled it, I think of Ron Howard, how he handled the Fonz taking over Happy Days.
Right.
You know, and now Ron Howard is a major director.
We're talking with Eric Estrada here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. Were you ever concerned or worried about being typecast in the role as Ponch?
Oh, no, because before then I was always the Latino. For 9 years I did the Latino as the bad guy before I got Chips. And then here I was the good guy. You know, so I don't worry. If I'd have been a plumber, I would always be looking for my job. I'm an actor, so I look for the job. I do the job. What the job calls for. If I think I can do it, I'll take the job if it's offered to me.
Now, before the two of you got the role of the officers on Chips, how much motorcycle riding did either one of you do up until that point?
Well, Larry had horses, he had motorcycles, he knew it all. I didn't know Jack. I had to learn. They put me through an 8-week course at the police academy in Sacramento.
Did you ever have any concerns or problems in the years you were riding the motorcycle? Was there
In 1980, I had a horrific accident where I punctured, collapsed both lungs. I broke 12 ribs and fractured my sternum and my wrist, broke my wrist. And I ended up in intensive care for 5 days. And they even read me my last rites.
Wow.
That's how bad it was.
And I'm sure, meanwhile, the obviously people are thinking about the person first, but the network must have went out of their minds.
I know, because by that time the show was in the top 20 and just kicking butt and ratings, and it was very, very popular. And actually, I mean, it's a funny way to get it, but it really helped put the show on the map even more, because I was on the news like every 5 minutes. And then UCLA got inundated with phone calls and letters and yada, yada, yada.
And
it was very intense.
And after you got back to good health, how did things change on the set? Did they restructure how you guys work on the bikes, or did they
No, we went back to riding. They reenacted the accident that I had on the set.
I remember that, yeah.
And then they had me go into from the hospital to the apartment, and then from the apartment back on the bike. Slowly in the third episode, in a following a preceding episode, and so it all worked out. It worked its way out, and then I was back at it, and I've fallen down since.
Do you still ride motorcycles at all? Do you ride in your
fact,
own time?
Oh yeah, I do every year, because every year I'm the National Grand Marshal of March of Dimes Ride for Healthier Babies in Atlanta, Georgia, every first week of October, weekend of October. We do a 3-day event, and then we have a big 120-mile run, and we raise tons of money for the March of Dimes. And it's the biggest ride east of the Mississippi.
Great stuff. We're talking with Eric Estrada here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800-790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa, Hull area, and also the border states. You've had quite a full life. And I know you have an autobiography out there. It's called what? My Road from Harlem to Hollywood?
Yeah. Because, you know, my wife talked me into writing this book, because I wrote it about 4 years ago. It came out at some time there. I mean, she talked me into it. I didn't really want to do it, but she said, look, nobody really knows what happened with you and MGM and Chips and why you had such a bad reputation. Nobody knows the real truth, so why don't you tell the people? And I said, honey, come on, I don't want to tell anybody anything. She says, not really for them, for you. Get it out, get rid of it. And I did. It was the best thing I could do, was write my autobiography. I think everybody should write one, because, man, you know, it took me 12 days to get it down on a tape recorder with a writer, and I got rid of a lot of junk. And I also set the record straight. I didn't bitch, I didn't whine, I didn't MF anybody. I just told it like it was.
What did you learn about yourself in that process?
Well, some of the things that happened was that I laughed about stuff that I didn't think was funny at the time, and I cried about stuff that I didn't pay any attention to at the time.
Mm.
And it really was really a good cleansing, you know. It was I had closure, and that was it. I was happy, and since then I've been like, cloud nine.
Was it painful during the time you went through the bad boy rep?
Yeah, it was really bad.
Was it difficult for
you? Nobody knew that I owned 50% of the show. I literally owned 50% of Chip's net profits participation money.
Mm-hmm.
And I did something that most actors today who were on these major big series in the past, and they, you know, they take a small salary or a small increase every year and get a bigger piece of the pie for down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, when a show goes into syndication, for years they tell you they're not making any money. So, of course, you get a lawyer, and then you audit them, and they show you a second set of books. They never show you profit. So everybody gets burned. And I said, wait a minute. That is not going to happen to me. I'm not going to let that happen to me. When I found out that they sold for syndication, they sold 10-year run of syndication of Chips at $75 million, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we just started the fifth season, and they needed to deliver 6 years of product. So I found out with my attorneys, who are very sharp guys, found out that the deal that they had, MGM had, with Golden West Broadcasters, which was Gene Autry's company, which then turned into Turner and then turned into AOL, IOL, or, you know, Time Warner.
Right.
Was that they needed to deliver 6 years of product for $75 million, but with one stipulation, that Eric Estrada be Ponchiarello. That was my ammunition, to go in at the beginning of the 50 and say, hey, I have 50% net profits participation. Here are my attorneys. Let's sit down and let's start a quarterly payment contract. And they told me to get, you know what. And I said, okay, goodbye. I walked off the show. And they proceeded to sue me and dish me and trash me in the industry and yada, yada, yada. But all I had to do is hang out as long as I could because they weren't about to return any of that money to the people that bought the show. And so they came back to me. We made a settlement. I went back to work. And the rumor on the street was that I won the battle, but I was going to lose the war. After Chips finished, you never heard from me for six, seven, 8 years. You know, I went up against David Beagleman.
Well, that's right, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And since he's shot himself.
Right.
Because he was not only, you know, he was trying to smoke a lot of other people besides me. And I just didn't want to end up in court 12, 13 years of my life trying to get my money that I had a contract for. So I did something that was unorthodox and not considered cool in Hollywood. I fought them before. They canceled the show. And so I had them by the short hairs. But they blacklisted me for about 10 years almost.
And you also opened a door, I guess, for a lot of actors to follow, did you not?
Well, I think I was the first Hispanic American on a network, on one of the three big networks, as a positive role model, because after that came Eddie Olmos in Vice, came Jimmy Smith as a lawyer in L.A. Law, and then as a cop in NYPD Blue, and then you had Hector Alejandro as the director of a hospital. And now we got a lot of Latinos in good, positive role images.
We're talking with actor Eric Estrada here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800-790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD. The numbers to call less than 12 minutes to go with Eric. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Now more of CJAD's Holder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
We're talking with actor Eric Estrada here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800-790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD. You can now see Eric on The Bold and the Beautiful on CBS and CTV. Of course, you remember him from the television series Chips. And Eric, it's just recently that you started on The Bold and the Beautiful, so maybe early to ask this question, but you have done a soap before when you did the Latin soaps. I'm just wondering, how have you found that fans are different from your primetime days to your daytime days?
Well, I think I have a spillage from Chips because most of the people that are older now, just like the lady that called in,
mm-hmm.
What was it, Laura, was it?
Yeah, Lori.
Yeah, she called in, and I've been very blessed. I've been very lucky. People always love Chips and they love Ponch. So, you know, the biggest question is, God, it's good. Where have you been? And it's good to see you again. You know, I'm glad you're on something. I want to watch. You know, so they've been pretty much the same. And then when I went to Mexico, I didn't know how to read and speak Spanish, so I had to learn that. And so that endeared me even more to the people who already, because Chips was dubbed in 86 different languages,
mm-hmm.
and it was aired all over the world. It still is. It airs here twice a day. And even I was in the south of France and in Switzerland this summer with my family. We went on vacation, and Chips is still playing there, all over, Italy, everywhere. And so the Latino people already knew me as Eric Estrada, New York City born and raised, Hispanic American, who is making an effort to come to Mexico and work in our market and learn the language. And the show happened to be the number one show ever on Latin television. It turned out that way for me. I was lucky. But so that endeared me even more to the Latino market because I did the reverse crossover.
Right.
You know? And so, but the American fans, they're my fans because they watched Chips when they were growing up.
Now, you mentioned your two sons. You have three kids, right?
I have three, yes.
You have two sons and a daughter, correct?
I just got my first daughter. She's 22 months. And I told my wife I want another one for Christmas. I want Santa to bring me another one. God, there's nothing like having girls. I thought the boys was a cool thing, but I guess it's the male ego. But there's nothing like a little girl, man.
Right. Now, your sons, if I'm not mistaken, will be, I guess, about the age when you first started acting.
No, he's going to be, he's 15.
15, so...
I started around...
17, right?
17.
Yeah. The reason why I ask is, what if your kid suddenly said, you know, Dad, I want to go into the business? What would you say?
The first thing I'll tell him is, well, take it up in high school and finish high school. And then what you got to do is make sure you want to do it because you're passionate about it and it fills you and it just gives you something that you can't get from anybody else, a fulfillment, and go for it and set a goal, you know, set a goal. Pick an age that you hope to have some amount of success in it, or at least making a living.
You have to find a way to divide the passion from the stardom, too, do you not? I mean, in your case, you had the passion, but you still managed to get into a little bit of trouble.
Oh, yeah, you know, well, you know,
so,
I tell you, I'm self-raised, so yeah. I learn as I go.
Yeah, as a dad, don't you worry about that? You know, hoping that your kids don't make those mistakes?
As much as I can, as much as he'll let me.
Right.
But I can't protect him from everything. He's got to, you know, he's got to step in it and then, you know, wipe his shoes off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But what I will do for him is that I'll always be there. I never had that.
Now, again, you know, we're all hoping for great things, and the fact that you might get this ongoing regular gig turned from a recurring to maybe even a contract character on The Bold and the Beautiful.
That would be sweet.
But barring that, would you like to be back in prime time on a regular basis?
I tell you, when I was doing my soap, when I was doing Chips, I was living in my motorhome for 6 years. Meaning, here was a show that we shot on the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
6 days a week, and then because it took 7 days to shoot 1 hour, to break it all down for 1 hour, 42 minutes, and then 12 minutes of commercial. And I literally, because we were on the street so much, and then on the seventh day, we go into the studio and tie the hour together with all the interiors, and that would be another 22-hour day. And I lived that way for 6 years. And then when I did my soap, it was in Mexico City. My family's here. So I flew home every Friday and flew back every Sunday night, red-eye. For a show that was only supposed to go 100 episodes, because Latin soaps are not like American soaps. They do 100 episodes and then they end. We did 457 episodes. And can you imagine me for putting 99,000 miles on Delta because I was flying home every Friday and returning every Sunday night for a year and a half? That killed me. What I would like not to do is become number one banana on a television series.
Would you like to do an ensemble show? Like, say, let's say Stephen Boschko comes to you and says, we need a police captain for a new police drama or something like that. Would that be something you'd like to do?
Yes, but that would be great because I'd maybe show up 3 days a week,
mm-hmm.
or two. You know, but to be the top dog at my age and with the family that I got, and that's my first priority is my family and being there for them. Because that's, you know, and the reason it's so paramount in my life is because I never had that. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Now,
so I want to make sure that I give that. Because I know how important it was not having it.
Now, I know you've stared down a lot of foe over the years, but I want to talk about one that you had to deal with recently.
What?
If I'm not mistaken, you were on The Weakest Link, were you not?
I got to tell you, what a tough cookie that woman is.
Ann Robinson.
Yeah, she's dynamite, though. You got to love her, man. But she, I tell you, she made me feel like I was 3 years old and I was in trouble. And I looked at her and I'm going, what's that? Look at this tiny, petite, tiny little thing. She looks like Peter Pan. And here I am so scared out of my shoes. But it was great. I had the best time. You know, I had the best time on that show. I got to tell you, that woman is brilliant.
Does she at least lighten up during the commercial breaks?
No, as a matter of fact, she keeps the intensity going. She leaves the set during the breaks, and you don't talk to her. What she does is after everything is over, after she insults you and gets in your face and just kicks you in the butt, after everything is over, the taping and everything is over, we all get to meet her at the back, and she's like Auntie Mame. She's the sweetest, sweetest lady you want to meet.
I don't know if she'd be glad to hear that. Give me a secret.
That's all an act. She's an actress.
That's just between me and you. We won't tell anybody else about that.
Okay.
It's great to see you back on television. We hope to see you back on television on a more regular basis. And I know it sounds like you're having fun on the television series.
Yeah.
One of the actresses who works on the show, her father does a radio show on this very station. I know you work with Jennifer Finnegan.
Yes.
And her father, Jack, works here on CJD, so take good care of Jennifer.
No, I'll take care of all the women on the set. That part of me never left.
It's good to talk to you, sir.
Hey, God bless everybody up there. And I don't know if you guys eat turkey on Turkey Day, but we do. And happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, you take care.
Okay.